Okay, super. If you've got your book, you might want to flick over to week two. And there's little spaces in the book where you can write in words. So you have to pay attention to what I say, and I'll make sure we can fill that in. But we've adopted this Paracletus course. By the way, if you don't have a book, it's fine. You don't need to have a book. You can just listen along. That's all right. This Paracletus course is something we thought it would be good for Lent. It keys into this idea of sharing the journey, which is our key sort of vision, following Jesus and sharing the journey. So journeying together. And really interesting, Trevor Partridge has sort of noticed not only there's something here that he could help the church to get better at, something really important, but something really biblical. This word parakaleo in the Greek, or paraklesis, appears a lot in the New Testament and is a real core, a real heart of what God's vision for church is, journeying alongside one another. So it comes up in lots of different places, and it's translated different ways in different places in the scriptures. But I want to start that reading in Galatians gave us a sense of, actually the word appears there a little bit, but that was a sense of paying attention to how we bear one another's burdens and journey alongside one another and so on. But we're going to start just by thinking about Hebrews and chapter 10 and just a couple of verses there. So there's a few slides that we can show to as we go along, which should come up now. Love comes alongside. So the feeding of the 5,000 is the story that really illustrates that. But before we get on to thinking about that, we're just going to step back. So if you go to the next slide, please, Tim. And remember this, we all go through hard times. And when that happens, God comes alongside us, and God brings us alongside someone else. That's the key verse of the whole course in 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 4. God comes alongside us when we go through hard times, and before you know it, he brings us alongside someone else who's going through hard times so that we can be there for that person just as God was there for us. That's the key verse. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 4, the word paracletus appears 5 times in that verse. God coming alongside us, and so on. So let's go to the next one and think about this now. Goodness me. You may need binoculars to read that. A paracletus culture in our church. Let us not give up meeting together. Some are in the habit of doing this. Instead, let us encourage parakaleo one another with words of hope. Let us do this even more as you see Christ's return approaching. That's Hebrews 10, verse 25. And the challenge from that is creating a culture and environment in which we intentionally and regularly come alongside others with support and help. So this is about saying, what's the ethos in our church? The Greek word there, some are in the habit of doing this, giving up meeting together. The Greek word habit is the word ethos, from which we get our word ethos or culture. It's that, you know, what's the culture of your church? And here there are people who are saying, actually, this church, when we get together, it's all got caught up with things. I can't really find where I'm tying into it. Or maybe it's actually costly for us to go. You know, there's oppression that was happening around this time. And so we're not coming. And the writer to the Hebrews says, let's not do that. Some are in the habit of doing. Let's keep meeting so that we can spur one another on. Give each other words of hope and encourage one another. Drawing alongside each other is really important. So how can we do that in a church culture? Well, we can create the opportunity to establish the culture. You know, we can't force it. We can't make it happen. We can't force people to journey alongside each other and share their lives. But what we can do is say, well, where are the opportunities where people can have some in-depth conversations? There's all sorts of reasons that people come to church on a Sunday morning. To hear the sermon, to sing the songs, to socialise, to put some money in the offering plate. That's all part of it. But every Sunday should be the opportunity to meet with God and to meaningfully come alongside others. This paraclesis community. So it's not about the vision, the projects, the things that we're doing. It's about that people-centered stuff where we're sharing the lives and together connecting with the God who made us. So we don't stop gathering together. We create that culture. We create the opportunities to establish that culture. And then we ask ourselves a question. The most important question in the Christian life. It's a very simple question. One word, three letters. How? Well, how do we live it? How do we do it? How are we supposed to, you know, adapt the patterns of our lives in a way that's going to please and honour God? Well, how do we do this? We think about how. And what the verse there in Hebrews 10, verse 24, says to us is, consider how to encourage, to do this parakaleo stuff, one another, so that we can show love and do good things. That's what the verse says. We must consider how to encourage one another and spur one another on. So it means each one of us, and this isn't then the preacher saying, okay, people, this is how you are to do it. This is you saying, I'm actually just going to think about what my intentions are. You know, I'm going to church this morning. I'm intending to sit in the seat I always sit in. I'm intending to sit with the people I always sit with and only talk to them. Or I'm intending to have a look at, is there someone else that I can do? Actually, I'm intending to see this person. I know they're going through some stuff. I'm going to make sure I ask them, how have things been? And actually listen and really mean it so that we can have some meaningful engagement over coffee and not just say, hi, I'm fine, how are you? Let's have a coffee and go home. You know, I'm intending to go with faith that I'm going to meet the living God. There's an intention. How do we do it? I can't answer the question, but you can. And the writer to the Hebrews says, you consider how. And then the other thing the verse says is, continue the habit of encouraging each other. Continue to meet together. Continue in this. You know, maybe you'll think a good thing to do would be to have that conversation with that person. But how do we continue in that fellowship? Can we arrange to have a coffee? Can I offer them a lift to church the next week? Whatever it might be. Can I put them on my baker cake list? Do you have a baker cake list? I don't know. How do we share it? So coming alongside means a number of different things. It means recognizing that people do not have problems, but needs. Developing a people-centered approach, not a problem-centered approach. Not saying, where are the problems in the church for me to solve? But saying, where are the people that I can come alongside? I read, Jill Wright sent me a verse just before I came out this morning, a quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer, an amazing theologian. And what he said, I'd not heard this before, but really was quite powerful, made me stop. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, there are some people who love their ideal of Christian community more than the Christian community. And in so doing, they destroy the Christian community. How about that? They love the ideal of Christian community more than the Christian community, and so don't destroy it. Sense that I've got this idea of how church should be, and I'm going to solve that problem. I'm going to try and make it so. And, oh, gosh, these people just get in the way of that, don't they? Do you know? Whereas actually we say, this is what we've got. This is who we are. Let's accept that and work with it. And this is the people that we're sharing community with. And so we'll work it out. And we get it wrong. Of course we do. But we get it wrong together. And we move on together as we improve, as the Holy Spirit leads us. So we recognise people don't have problems, but people do have needs. Every one of us has the need to be accepted, valued, and to belong. And also, Dr. Carl Stern, a neurologist and psychiatrist, he said there are two fundamental human needs I guess a lot of psychiatrists and neurologists would argue about what our fundamental human needs are. But this guy said, there's only really two. It's one, to receive love, and two, to give love. To receive love and to give love. And there's something actually we can say, we find echoes of that in the Bible, don't we? And in God's purposes for us. God is wanting to love us, and he's wanting us to love others. He comes alongside us so that we can come alongside others. Or as John says it in 1 John 4:19, we love because God first loved us and sent his son to die for us. So we are loving as we have been loved by God, and learning how to receive and give love. And coming alongside means having this people-centered approach, giving and receiving love, being loved by God so that we can love others, and this becomes an expression of authentic community. The discipleship test isn't based on our vision or how many noble projects or conferences or activities we're involved in. It's our love for each other that is the litmus test of authentic community. And people are hungry for that in today's world, and we're a place they can find it. So let's have a look at today's story, the gospel story. I just want to draw out a few points from that. So I think we're on to the next slide. Oh, there's a little quote at the bottom there which says, "We are anxious that you keep right on loving others as long as life lasts." You know, this stuff permeates the scriptures, doesn't it? Keep on loving others. But let's find the heart of a paraclesis culture. What we find is this contrast between the disciples and Jesus in this story. They were all together, Jesus and the disciples, saying, let's have some time, just us. We'll go away and find a lonely place and have some nice, sweet fellowship together. And then all these crowds saw them and said, there they are, let's chase them down, run after them. And the disciples are kind of saying, I was looking forward to that time with Jesus, and here are these crowds. And then Jesus teaches them all day because Jesus has compassion. That's what the Bible tells us, the story says. He felt compassion for them, like sheep without a shepherd. So he spent the day teaching them. And then the disciples say, okay, Jesus, send them away. Let's have our time. Send them away. They must be hungry. Go on. And there's something of a compassion deficit disorder among the disciples. The same compassion isn't evident there. And so Jesus says, no, I've got a different plan. We're not going to send them away. We're going to feed them. What? How can we do that? That's ridiculous. And so that verse from 1 John 3 and verse 1 says, if you see some brother or sister in need and have the means to do something about it, but turn a cold shoulder and do nothing, what happens to God's love? It disappears, and you made it disappear. There's something about God's love is actually showing how we love one another. And here's a bit of a test for the disciples. What are we going to do with this crowd who are getting in the way? We're going to love them. And so Jesus actually shows them a different way. He accepts them. He says, yeah, they're here. They have some needs. They're needing to be taught. They're sheep without a shepherd. They need some food at the end of the day. They're hungry. He accepts where they are, accepts who they are. And he validates them. The disciples are saying, send them away. But no, they've got some needs that are valued, and we need to attend to them. So we value them and validate them. And then he actually does something and reaches out to them. Where the disciples were dismissive and wanted to send them away, Jesus says, no, we'll feed them. So in compassion, which he's moved inwardly with compassion, and it causes him to care and come alongside and act outwardly. That's the way it works. Christ's love moves us on the inside and moves us towards others. So we're just going to draw out a handful of lessons from this passage in how compassion actually works. Firstly, it moves towards others. Compassion engages with needs. That's what Jesus did. We're going to move towards these people, this crowd. We wanted our time of sweet fellowship alone somewhere, but no, there's this. We're going to move towards it, not away with it. You know, you see a dog loose, looking lost at Whitlingham, and you think to yourself, no, I'll run away from that one, that's someone else's responsibility, or actually, let's move towards this dog and look at his collar and try and track it down. And we move towards others. Secondly, accepting responsibility. Someone's got to take responsibility here. Let's not just say it's someone else's. I'm going to accept responsibility as someone God has put me in this moment in front of this need. What can I do? And giving no excuses. The disciples have plenty. They're hungry. They need to go and get their food. We haven't got the resources. You know, we need our time. All sorts of excuses, but no. We can always find excuses. Sometimes there's very good reasons and we just have to say, God, we need some extra grace to help us. But you've put us in this situation. What do we have? And Jesus is saying, you've got me, so you've got resource. Place what we do have into the hands of Jesus. Jesus says, okay, you think we should send them away? What do you have? We're not going to spend 8 months' wages. What have you got right here and now? 5 loaves and 2 fish, that'll do. Give it to me and let's see what happens. Putting it, what we have, in Jesus' hands, however little it may seem, and then drawing on Christ's resources, the disciples bring the food to Jesus, and what happens is this common bread in the miracle hands of Jesus becomes miracle bread, and it feeds 5,000, 12 baskets of leftovers. Miracles happen when compassion moves us to give our little into the hands of Jesus. That's miracle territory. Starts with compassion, starts with caring. And then compassion reaches out to the point of felt need. These people are hungry. What do they need? They need food in their bellies. What have we got? Give it to Jesus, but let's see the food in the bellies. That's the important thing. Sit them in the rows, get them down, and come alongside them. Give them the food. Actually translates into action and demonstrates that love comes alongside. Do you know there are 6 accounts in the Gospels of the disciples feeding a multitude? If you want to know, Matthew 14, 13 to 21, Mark 6, 30 to 44, Luke 9, 10 to 17, John 6, 1 to 13, and then Matthew 15, 32 to 39, and later in Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, 1 to 9. Significant, isn't it? You think 6 times, maybe this is a story that's a bit of a monument that we should be looking at. And the journey into this and around this and following this way. And in all these instances, Jesus blessed what was brought and it was multiplied. And then the others had full bellies and they'd spent time with Jesus and now they were equipped to go and share the journey with others, to come alongside others in love. Whatever your experience, whatever you've got, give it to God. And let him take it in his miracle hands. Let him drop his compassion into your heart. And you know, we long to see the miracle hand of God at work, don't we? We long for that. Together, let's create a culture where there's opportunities, where that can happen. The culture of love that comes alongside, the paraklesis ethos at the heart of our culture of care in our church community. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the opportunities you give. Thank you for the love that you've shown. And Lord, as we, in our own stumbling, feeble way, try to emulate you, to share that journey, Lord, we don't just want to look at this story from a distance and say, what a great thing. We want to live in this story as it happens again and again in our midst, as the bread is miraculously multiplied in our own hands, as we see your compassion motivate us and move us to show real love that reaches towards the need, that sees the people and not the problems. And we ask now for your Holy Spirit to come and fill us in a fresh way, to inspire us and motivate us. Draw near and equip us as we journey on with this, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to continue to respond and sing worship and If there's something you'd like prayer for in your own life, there'll be people at the back who will pray with you as we sing together.